everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
One more game. There's nothing like clinching the wild card and celebrating 6 months of hard work, which guarantees you at least 3 hours more. Also, when your weight room prowess is called out, but you win the series, that is how you celebrate. Let's go around the horn.
Kind of like working hard for 29 minutes just for 20 seconds of tape time.
Well, now that you say it like that, Israel, yes, you're absolutely right, yes. The Washington Nationals have the most wins in the National League since May 24th. Even with that, they couldn't catch the Braves, so now they get one more game. Getting here hasn't been a problem for Washington through the years. Staying here, moving on from here, has. They know how to take the reservation. They don't know how to keep the reservation. Bob Wright, I'll start with you. How does this team enter the playoffs? Are these different Nationals?
Well, first of all, Tony, it might be 3.5 hours or four because that's the way baseball is now.
But yes,
anyway,
Bob, thank you.
I think it is different this year. They are not backing into anything. They are storming into the playoffs with a very good feeling about themselves and with the best 1-2-3 rotation in baseball, arguably with those guys. And they say, oh, what about the bullpen? The ERA's almost six. Hey, we've learned in this millennium that you work around that in the playoffs if you have to. Go check out the Diamondbacks. Check out the Giants. Check out the Red Sox. Who got the last out in the World Series last year? It wasn't a closer. So that can be circumvented as well. They've got an MVP candidate in Rendon. They've got the great young outfielder in Soto. They've got Robles. They've got a really good feel about themselves. And I think that people have been saying for 6 weeks that if there's one team that's going to be a major threat to the Dodgers, it is
Woo!
The Nats.
Listen to you. And you were also doing air traffic control there a little bit while you were talking. Israel Gutierrez, did Bob Ryan convince you these are different Nationals?
I mean, he definitely helped pour it on there. Look, I look at the celebration song that they chose right after they clinched there. Panic at the Disco. Hey, look, Ma, I made it. That's not the sort of underdog song that you would hear from the Nationals.
Sure. Let's diagnose their music choices.
Bryce Harper. Panic at the Disco, by the way, something that they're not going to do now because it has very much of a St. Louis Blues feel, right? Terrible and for a little bit in the regular season, make a run, and now make a run through the playoffs. And just to keep going on the Panic at the Disco thing, they have a line in there that says everything's coming up aces. Max Scherzer on the road for one wild card game. I know it's just one more game. I'll take my chance with him. He has not been great in the postseason, but I love his sort of one game, sort of just dog mentality. And then you throw in Scherzer, who's been really good in the postseason the last 6 or 7 starts. So I like what they can do if they obviously get that one.
Zara Spain.
Well, I think Hey Look Ma, I Made It does sound like an underdog call because they keep making it and it hasn't been that important or difficult to make it. So it's like, hey, look, after our terrible start, we're in. We're going to celebrate it even if it's just a wild card. Look, this team has shown us what can be done or not done when you have a great record and you have success all season long. 0-4 in divisional series over the last 20 years when they've had the best record and home field advantage. And that's part of a trend. In the last 20 years, teams with the better record in those 5-game divisional series have finished 39-39-2. The two ties were when the teams had the same record. It's not a given that your success throughout the regular season means you'll be able to pull it off in the playoffs. We've seen that every single year from this Nats team. So why not believe that a team that instead poured it on late and figured it out, got that chemistry working, is the one that's actually going to go farther than the ones that we've seen before who've been successful start to finish right
now? Ramona, do you have a read on these Nationals?
I mean, I'm going to be the one to pour a little bit of cold water on it. They still have, like, the worst bullpen in baseball. and they're almost locked into having the worst bullpen of any playoff team ever. They're 5.77.
I mean, if you want to look at that, sure.
As great as Scherzer and Strasburg and Patrick Corbin are, like, that's still a problem there. But I can tell you this, Bob, the Dodgers don't want to play him. If that's the team that comes out of that wild card game, they do not want to go against those three starters in a best of five series.
We do this every year, but let's just do it once more. I mean, the celebration, we saw it. You're celebrating 157 days of work, and it's incredible that you get to do that, but you guarantee just one. So that celebration, go too far or not far enough, Israel?
No, I think it's the perfect amount right there. I mean, yes, it's a long period of time. That's what the celebration is. Hey, we did something this year. It wasn't a waste of a season. Even if we lose that game, next year we will be the Washington Nationals who made the playoffs the previous
year. Darius Payne?
Yeah, as someone whose team is not going anywhere near the playoffs, okay. We would like to celebrate even just one more game, because you never know how long your stretch might be without getting back to
just
that.
Make sure you don't celebrate longer than that game may take you. We'll move on. The Phillies. For the Phillies and for Bryce Harper, that the Nats clinched right in their face, that Harper had to eat it right in the face, Ramona. Does that mean this season at least was a failure for them? How does Philly and Harper look today?
I mean, they don't look good right now. I mean, his strikeouts are up, his contact rate is down. It's been that way it's been the same story with him. But his WAR this year was 60th in Major League Baseball. That's not justifying the contract that he signed in the offseason. It doesn't make you feel good about the length of time that he signed for. But I think when you look at this, they had a lot of guys on the injured list all year long. Like, it was third most in baseball. The payroll is obviously gigantic, but I think they come right back next year and they still have all that talent if they can get healthy with
injuries.
Well, we just mentioned not celebrating, right? The Phillies have now missed the playoffs 8 straight seasons. I'm sure they would love to pop some bottles over even just one more game. This isn't that embarrassing to them, because there's plenty of time to see how this Bryce Harper contract plays out. He's going to be there for, I think, what is it, 25, 26 seasons? I think that's what it was for. Yes. But, you know, when you look at the rest of that offseason, that's the part that maybe sticks in your craw, is $400 million in free agents in one offseason. They're only the third team ever to do that. That's a ton of money to get to this point and have nothing really to show for it. But like Ramona said, you do have the next couple seasons to see how all that money
all right, so
off.
You're giving them some time. Israel, $400 million in the offseason on free agents, and they missed the playoff in the first year. Is that a failure?
Yes, it's clearly a
thank
failure.
Thank you very much. I do think that...
But this is the conversation that's been happening since, you know, Bryce had the rough start early, or even at the season started, because they spent so much money. What this finish does in losing to the Nationals and letting them get into the postseason, it sort of just amplifies it. It magnifies it. And maybe it has people in that clubhouse saying, you know what, 60th in WAR, we spent all this money, and what did we really end up with? So it just creates those question marks, maybe makes them a little louder and has guys thinking out loud going into next season. It can't be a good thing. They signed so many All-Stars coming into this season. They should have been pretty much.
All right. So you think it amplifies and magnifies. I hear what you're saying and I see what you're saying right there.
Mm-hmm. How about
Bob Ryan, $400 million this offseason, missed the playoffs. Failure?
Oh, absolutely. They might not even finish 500. That's not guaranteed yet. Of course it's a failure on this. Now, reasons we can go over, and you want to talk injury, but this is the wrong year to be citing injury because of what the Yankees are doing. Nobody else is going to have that excuse. You can't use it this year. And as far as Harper's concerned, he ain't Mike Trout. All right, let's get this straight. Can we have that discussion tabled forever? Right? He's not Mike Trout.
Forever.
So, you know, they did a lot more than just all go right. Get Mike Trout. It didn't work out. And
he might not be Mike Trout. Mike Trout also not making appearances in October with frequency either, Bob Ryan. Sarah and Ramona giving them some time here. This is inspiring that there's so much patience from some members of this panel. We'll move on. The 3-0 Green Bay Packers. We're going to get a look at them tomorrow night. Aaron Rodgers statistically here, middle of the pack, managing 3 games while the team defense has been stout. Here's Rodgers.
It's time for us to do our part on offense moving forward. We're going to play some, you know, a stretch of really good football teams. And at some point, you know, we can't expect our defense to shut everybody down. They have been. But at some point, the offense is going to have to wake up and start making some plays.
Sarah, how do you hear Aaron Rodgers there?
I hear him as accurate. Listen, it's great for the Packers that they've been able to depend on that defense while he and new head coach Matt LaFleur figure out what they want to do offensively. But at some point, it won't be enough against great teams unless they can score enough points and not leave it all in their defense. I think it's good that he's taking ownership of it. I don't think he's calling anyone out. I don't think he's pointing any fingers. I think he's just being accurate about expectations for himself and knowing what their defense can do. Expectations now for the team.
Israel Gutierrez?
I hear Aaron Rodgers, king of the well-timed soundbite, right? Where it was relax before because everybody was going it crazy and they weren't going to make the playoffs. Now he's essentially saying, okay, we're 3-0. We got away with one or two maybe. This isn't the way we're supposed to or I'm used to winning anyway. We want the offense to sort of control the game. We've been getting lucky with this defense. It's a way, while everybody's still feeling good about 3-0, to say, hey, LaFleur, come on now. This third down thing isn't really working. We're not very successful. We got to stay on the field.
Oh, so you think he's calling out his coach? But
oh, absolutely. It's not, absolutely. He's not happy out there. You can see him.
Hmm, absolutely. Bob Ryan, what did you hear from Rodgers there? Are you with Israel that this was chin music maybe to his coach or at least the start of a conversation about LaFleur's offense?
Indeed, there are disturbing numbers to show that he is in slippage. There's no question about it. But you think he'd be the first one? He will not admit this publicly or admit this to himself even. He's calling out the coach. All right. He's citing the proper defense. I think so. The narrative in the offseason was the defense is going to be much better than it usually is. And the other question was, how is it going to work out? Rodgers and LaFleur, how are they going to be on the same page? I don't think that for one second that he's indicting himself at all. I think he's indicting the offense in general and saying, I'm ready to go. Where's my tools?
Speaking of indictment, you used a word there that is on the ban list, Mr. Bob Ryan. So here we go. All right, Ramona Shelburne.
If you want to own this, if you want to make this a... Right, like, if you want to own this, if you want to say this is on me, then you just say this is on me. You don't say we as an offense need to do better and make some plays. And he's been pretty loud about saying, I think we need to get Devontae Adams more involved. He only had 4 targets the other day. He wants to get the tight ends more involved. Like, he's been pretty specific about saying what needs to happen. And I think Matt LaFleur has chimed back in and said, well, you know, we don't want to target certain guys. We want to target them within the flow of the offense. I think there's pretty clear tension there between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur in that new system that he's trying
Spain
to
do. And then Gutierrez.
I just am curious whether the tension is the result of us creating to make a story out of it and wanting to talk about it, or whether we're just not listening accurately to what he's saying, which is this isn't all on me. I'm not playing terribly. He's not throwing 100 picks a game. It's merely just that, in general, the offense, everybody involved needs to be better. That's what I hear. That's what
Israel.
He said.
Yeah, and some of this is good news, right? Because they're 3-0. We're 3-0. We still haven't gotten out of a touchdown. We're 3-0. We haven't gotten Jimmy Graham involved. That's okay. He's just announcing, hey, more offense should come along.
Well, you see them talk on the sidelines during the game, but you see every quarterback and coach talk on the sidelines every game. When you look at it, and it's Rodgers and LaFleur, you're like, oh, look at them. They're getting heated. But then every other coach and quarterback are doing that as well. Taking a break right here, buy or sell on the other side. Bob Ryan, 22 points in the lead.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Coca-Cola. Share a Coke this football season with your friends, family, and fans. Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The Oakland A's in the midst of a race for the wild card, and Frankie Montas back for Oakland tonight after 80-game suspension for positive PED test. He can finish this season for Oakland as they try to nail down the wild card. Starting tonight, then goes back to the suspended per no playoffs rule if they make the playoffs. Ramona, how's that strike you?
You know, I just kind of think that the baseball season is so long that 80-game suspension, while it's so long, is not enough of a punishment when you have a positive PED test. If they're really serious about cleaning up PEDs in baseball, they've got to have that postseason ban. And I feel bad for him. He says he took an over-the-counter supplement that was tainted, but you got to have some teeth in that rule.
Sarah Spain?
If the punishment isn't enough, then make it longer, but keep it consistent. If he's allowed to play in the regular season, he's allowed to play in the playoffs. I don't really like the idea of the added punishment be that we take you away from the team once they advance to a certain point of the season. Just make it longer if you don't think it's enough, but don't decide when and where to apply.
Israel Gutierrez.
I think this is part of the penalty. I think there is obviously a more prestige to playing in the playoffs. And it's not just, hey, take an 80-game vacation. Nobody will remember by the time the playoffs come. It's these types of conversations and these types of examples that we have to say, hey, this should deter you from either using or make sure that you don't accidentally take
it. Bob Ryan.
Oh, no, I'm totally in disagreement there. He did his time. He should be allowed to put through everything that's left of baseball. He did his 80 games. That's all it should be. And then he's copped to it. Yes, he's not giving that phony excuse stuff. He knows he's made a mistake by taking the wrong supplement, but he's not whining about it. And that should be taken into consideration, too.
The reality is this is a playoff game tonight anyway. I mean, they need these games right now. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. $50,000 fine for saying, we kind of like to extend our MVP, the league MVP, a guy, you know, you kind of want to keep forever because he could be the best player in franchise history. Here's exactly what Bucks GM John Horst said. Sarah, how does the NBA look for fining Milwaukee for tampering by talking up Giannis?
Yeah, this tampering rule is so tough because I understand they want to apply it to prevent really egregious statements. But it's not egregious at all to say we would give him the Supermax. He's the best player in the NBA, just won the MVP. This particular example just seems a little heavy-handed and necessary.
Yeah, it's breaking news when a GM says, I don't know, we might offer him the max. Look, the NBA should be encouraging Milwaukee to do whatever possible to keep Giannis on there, because if he goes to some other big market team, all of a sudden it's just like, oh, wait, we have these complaints about the small markets not being able to keep their superstars.
The point is,
yeah, I think it was a little bit unnecessary.
Bob Ryan?
Don't they have anything else better to do in the league office than to penalize a team for talking about one of its own players? I don't get this at all. It's completely.
So you don't believe you could tamper with yourself?
No.
Ramona Shelburne, how about you?
Look, this is like getting a ticket for going 62 in a 60-mile-an-hour zone, okay? It's really ticky-tack and minor here. But they literally just voted on a big tampering reform. And Adam Silver's big takeaway from this is we're trying to create a culture of compliance.
Oh, so you're buying this. You think this is okay because they just had the meeting?
Yeah, they had to do it. They literally just walked out of that meeting.
Ramona, talk to me about Israel's point, though, that the league should want a small market team to be able to keep their players.
Let me just redo that quote for John Horst so he doesn't get fined. You know, Giannis is going to be eligible for that Supermax extension in a year from now, and we're going to do everything in our power to persuade him to stay in Milwaukee for a good long time.
So that would have been fine
by
you.
That's all you got
to
do.
What do you think he went to? It's the same thing.
But he says, we are going to offer him.
You don't know what he's saying.
All you have to do is just not say we're going to offer him the Supermax.
I don't know, Momo. We'll take a mute. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. How much stock are you putting in Jonathan Givinny's report about LaMelo Ball? This is the report where he had an anonymous NBA exec say, if he keeps this up, I don't see any way he isn't in the conversation for the number one overall pick. Israel Gutierrez, you buy or sell?
Oh, I'm absolutely buying it. If his last name wasn't Ball and he was going to, I don't know, North Carolina or Kansas next year, you'd say, wow, this guy's got the highlights. He seems to be legit. He had that growth spurt, and all of a sudden, there are no real question marks with him. His offensive game is very thorough and very versatile, and, you know, he's got the size and the physical ability now. So I'm absolutely.
Bob Ryan?
Oh, I have no reason to dispute it. I haven't seen him. I'll take it at face value. And do you think that there would be any reason that they would want to talk up a Ball if they didn't have to? Oh, enough that wasn't worthy?
Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, like I was just talking to Jonathan when he was here in L.A. He just got back from this trip. He said the kid's got a great shot. He's committed to playing defense. He has a great feel for the court. And I think that when I saw him as a kid and we saw some on that Facebook show acting goofy and we remember him in Lithuania just looking lost out on the court, we forget he was a kid. Like when you see him now, he's grown. He went through a growth spurt. He looks like a whole different player. And if you watch him play, he actually might be the best of the three players. And LaVar Ball, oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. He actually said
all right, that is actually a banned word as well on this show. Sarah Spade, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, we've actually heard from the beginning that he's probably the best prospect of all of them. His very windy path, of course, makes things difficult because he got pulled out of the regular trajectory that we would see to have success at the NBA level. But people who are able to assess talent are saying he has it. There's no reason to doubt it other than to want to be spiteful because of people who shall remain unknown.
Oh, there you go. You avoided yourself the ban list, but not enough to get you into the showdown. Ramona, Sarah, thanks for stopping by. We'll see you in just a bit. Right now, Israel Gutierrez, Bob Ryan, rolling up the sleeves for showdown. Next.
There's Crispy, And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
There's Bob Ryan. Good luck in showdown. Mystics 94, Aces 90. That's how the semifinals end. It'll be Washington and Connecticut for the championship starting Sunday. How Washington responded to Liz Cambage saying, well, they need to hit the weight room. Well, push-ups after the win. Israel celebration. I asked this earlier. I'll ask it again. Too far or not far enough?
It's not too far at all. This is the type of rivalry stuff, the fun stuff that we need in this sport, that we need to pump up women's sports in general so we can all watch. It's all the complaining about the actual play. Come on, this is the personalities. This is what we want to see.
I'm totally on board with it, but the only thing is she didn't do it out in the open. She's surrounded by her teammates. People in the building couldn't even see what she was doing. Get out there at center court if you're going to do it.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought you were going to critique her technique as well. I think she was on center court, but I'll split the point. I want this nonstop. Give me more. We'll move on. Showdown two, Daniel Jones. It appears he's not thrilled about the nickname that has been bestowed upon him. Danny Dimes. It's been floating around since he helped the Giants come back to beat the Bucks Sunday. Jones said, I don't know. It's all right. There's worse nicknames, end quote. Bob, how do you rule?
One game doesn't rate a nickname, and the only thing that has going for it is the alliteration. They got to wait. I'll do a little. You could do better than that. He's proper to reject it. It's not worthy. No.
Okay.
No.
Nah, some of the names that were being tossed around about him when he got drafted weren't nearly as pleasant. So actually, I think he has the right to decline any nickname from here on out. Whatever he says goes. This is his.
No,
word.
You don't get to come up with your own nickname, Israel. That's not how it works. Robert Ryan. Rapid Roberts. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
September baseball, 40-man rosters. It's a farce. More than that, it's a mockery of a travesty, of a sham, of a mockery of a double sham. Last night, one game had 24 pitchers. Another game had 25 pitchers. Every night, Alex Cora has 22 pitchers at his disposal right now. The 40-man roster, thank God they're going to getting rid of it next year, and you're going to go back to some common sense. If you want a 40-man roster, do it in April, by the way, and then whittle the roster down. You must have important games of the season or have it with a roster that is completely. I'm telling you, a mockery of the privacy of the game, the double shame.
How
that's
have
what
you
it was.
Not been commissioner
there
of baseball at some point?
Rapid Robert. You lived up to the nickname. There you go. Still got
there
the fastball. Israel, you don't have a nickname, do you? We got to come up with one for you. Spain.
El Gato, if you want to hear
El Gato,
the story.
El Gato, the Inquisition, and Momo. Right. Momo's got the best nickname. Lyrically, Momo. You're Mario Jetty on the Momo. That's going to do it, folks. Bambi signing off.